Good evening, everyone. Good to see you out tonight. Let's take our Bibles out now, and if you'll please join me in turning to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, and tonight our text will be verses 25 through 27. And we'll begin by reading those verses together. If you'll please follow along carefully with me. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Tune, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Let's pray. Lord, thank you once again for the opportunity to come to church. Thank you for every person that's here. Lord, we ask that you would minister to our hearts through your word tonight. Use it to encourage us and to convict us and to instruct us. Lord, whatever you see the need to be in our hearts tonight, we pray that you would meet that through your word and by the ministry of your Spirit. Lord, our desire is that you would be honored by all that we say and do in this place tonight. We also pray that you would minister to us, Lord, and build us up as your children and draw us closer to you and just help our hearts to be tender to your voice tonight as you speak to us through your word. We ask for the quickening of your spirit to be able to communicate your word as well as to be able to receive it and understand it. Please bless our study of your word, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some folks in this world argue over whether or not man is a sinful creature or if he's just born as a blank slate and somehow he gets corrupted and then becomes bad. But if any of God's children should ever question the depths of depravity or the sinfulness that exists in the human heart, even among those of us who are redeemed, we need only look at our tendency to wander from the true and living God to worship idols. We state this many times, but we may not go to the obvious extreme of carving out a block of wood or stone into an image and then bowing down to it. And yet, if we give an honest biblical evaluation of our hearts and lives, we may not be as far from that as we presume. Our hearts are so deceitful, so desperately wicked, as Jeremiah described it, that we too can make idols, or we can place undue importance upon, we can place undue value or undue weight upon things that are no more than fabric, paper, wood, stone, plastic, polyester, rubber, lead, gold, brass, copper, aluminum, steel, and even dirt and water. You say, well, where do you find all those things? Well, those would be included among our many possessions. Cash, clothing, cars, toys, tools, houses, lands. Yeah, all of those things can take on undue significance in our lives. They can become idols. And beyond that, we today can even make idols out of food, pleasure, education, recognition, work, family, or other earthly relationships. And this is why the beloved Apostle John warns us as God's dear children not to love the world or the things which are in the world, that is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, because those things tempt us to have low aspirations, to where we aspire for nothing but the passing things under the sun, and all the while at the expense of doing the will of God, which abides forever. Tonight, for our message, we're going to briefly explore this topic together. Don't get carried away with idols. Don't get carried away with idols. We're going to be challenged by God's message to Israel not to allow ourselves to get carried away with things that are soon to pass away. So to guide our study tonight, we're going to consider just two main thoughts, and God willing, we will be brief tonight. But here are those two thoughts. First of all, we'll see the giving up. The giving up, and then secondly, the carrying away. The giving up and the carrying away. So let's go back again to verse 25. God asks His people a question with an obvious implication from His vantage point. He said, "Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel?" So there the Lord asks His people this question. The question has the obvious implication, again, from God's viewpoint, that while Israel gave the impression, or maybe were under the impression themselves, that they were offering sacrifices to the Lord, they were in fact not being loyal to the Lord in their hearts. For a period of 40 years, they're in their mind, they're offering sacrifices to the Lord, but God's question really is, have you really been offering these things to me? Now let's go back a little bit in Israel's history. We do know this, that when Israel was in Egypt, before they were God's redeemed and set free people by the blood of that Passover lamb, before they were redeemed out of Egypt, they served idols in Egypt. Joshua 24 and verse 14, we know verse 15 very well, but verse 14 says, "Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt." So we know that before Israel was redeemed, they were idolaters. They're in Egypt serving the gods of Egypt. Now, unfortunately, though redeemed out of Egypt, Israel continued to have a tendency to turn back to worshiping idols. That was made most obvious when Moses went up into the mount. He's gone for, you know, that period of time, those 40 days. And somewhere along the way, the people came to Aaron and they said, "Hey, you need to make us gods. You need to make us a god, because we want a god that we can see and touch, and we don't know what's happened to this man Moses." By the way, they didn't need someone to replace Moses because they're looking at the wrong focus. They were to be worshiping the Lord, not Moses. They didn't need a god to replace Moses. But anyhow, so Aaron makes them that golden calf, and what happens? Israel gets right back involved in idolatry. I mean, they picked up right where they left off back in the old life in Egypt, and they're worshiping this golden calf and committing all kinds of, you know, immoral acts in the process. Well, Moses judges the people for that. He makes the people ingest the gold powder, which he had, you know, ground that golden calf into. He makes them to drink it in their water. The idea there is that they would ingest it, and the only way they're going to get it back is they've got to dig through the sewer to get it. And he's hoping, saying, you know, "I hope this will cure you, that you're not going after that. You're going to be done with that." Well, unfortunately, even though they were judged in that way, the people still persisted in idol worship throughout Israel's 40-year wilderness wandering. Though they went through the motions of offering sacrifices to the Lord, as God reveals to us here in verse 25, in their hearts they were still being pulled toward idols. And this is why Joshua, in Joshua 24, this is toward the end of Joshua's life, Moses has long since been off the scene, so this is years after that, Joshua still has to say, "Get rid of those gods in your life that your fathers were serving back in Egypt." Because they still had that same tendency to worship those fake gods. Well, unfortunately, Israel continued to persist in their idolatry. And as we find later revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, the Lord literally gave them up to their own lusts, to worship the idols and fake gods, some of which are named in verse 26. And the idea here is that this same pattern was being repeated now by Israel in Amos' time. They had been given up to worship fake gods. And this is where we get that main thought, the giving up. You say, where are you getting that? Well, it's found in Acts chapter 7, verses 39 through 43. You're welcome to turn there if you'd like, or you can just listen. But this is the testimony of Stephen before the Jewish leaders, before the Sanhedrin. Okay? And Stephen is Spirit-filled. We know that from Scripture. And so he's not misinterpreting the Scriptures. He's not misapplying the Scriptures. No, he's getting it right. And here's what he says. Acts 7 and verse 39. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned, here it is, and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. So Stephen recognizes Amos as among the prophets, this book of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them. So Stephen says, you persisted in your idolatry until God turned and said, all right, I give you up to it. And he gave them up to worship idols, and even to worship the host of heaven. And again in verse 26, Amos describes some of this, he names two specific gods that the people were given up to worship. He says in verse 26, but ye have borne, not B-O-R-N, but B-O-R-N-E, that is, they had borne or they had carried their man-made idols, they had carried or borne the tabernacle of their Moloch. Okay, this tabernacle of Moloch, as others have explained, would have been a small canopy in which this idol was enshrined in an idolatrous procession. So they're marching along, they're carrying their own gods that they've made. They're carrying their god Moloch in his nice canopy, because you don't want your idol to get sunburned or the sun to fade the paint on him. Now this is ironic. The irony here is that in turning from the Lord and persisting in worshiping idols, God gave them up to worship a god which they made and which they had to carry, instead of worshiping the Lord who carried them. Would you please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 46? Isaiah 46, and we're going to read exactly what's going on here and the irony in it. Isaiah 46, beginning, let me just turn with you. I have it in my Bible, but I didn't copy the entire part. I don't want to miss any. Isaiah 46, beginning in verse number 1. Just about read from Jeremiah. Okay, here we go. Isaiah 46. That looks right. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. In other words, these gods, Bel and Nebo, they load them up onto the animals. They've got to be carried, toted along. Okay, let's go to verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are, there's that word, born, not B-O-R-N, but B-O-R-N-E, that is carry, just like they had borne the tabernacle of their god Moloch, who are, or which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. Even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. We'll stop there. So again, God's people turn from him. Instead of serving the Lord who would carry them through life from the womb even to hoary hairs till they are old and gray-headed, God, instead of worshiping that God, they turned and were given up to worship gods that they made and that they themselves had to carry. Okay, verse 26 continues, "But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chiun, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves." Again, as further explained in verse 26, Israel worships this other god, Chiun. Stephen refers to him as Remphan. One commentator said here, this heathen deity was linked to the planet Saturn, the star of your god, or possibly your star god. This would tie in with Stephen's assertion that God gave them up to worship the host of heaven. All of these gods were man-made, which ye made to yourselves. The futility and folly of this is exposed by Isaiah in Isaiah 44, verses 14 through 17, when he asserts that from the same tree they would have wood for the fire to warm them, wood for the oven to roast their meals, and with the residue thereof he maketh a god, an object of worship, and an alleged source of protection. They made their gods. Our God made his people. And we look at that, we would say, how foolish. Why would you turn from a God who's able to carry you and deliver you and who made you to turn to a God that you make out of a block of wood and you have to carry it everywhere it goes and it can't hear you and it can't deliver you? We'd say, man, that is crazy. That's nuts. But we need to recognize how foolish it is today when we, even as God's New Testament redeemed people, worship idols, when we place undue value, when we get our focus and set our affection on things which, quote, must be, this is quoting myself, sorry, didn't need to be quoted anyhow, must be propped up, forgive me, must be propped up, lifted, carried, pushed, pulled, plugged in, moved, recharged, and repaired instead of the Lord who made and who carries us all through life. And also, we need to learn here from Israel's example, really be warned and admonished that though the Lord will not give his people over to idols, that is, without the possibility of recovery, as in the sense of God's giving the wicked over to a reprobate mind, as described in Romans 1. He gave them up, and then finally gave them over. The idea that there's no recovery. God will not ever give his people over to these things. And yet we learn here that it is so, that God will give his people up to their own ways, to their own desires and lusts, if they persist in resisting him and his will. Psalm number 81, verses 8 and following, I'd like to read. And you're welcome to join me there. Psalm number 81, beginning in verse number 8. The Lord said, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken to me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. The giving up. Finally tonight, there's the carrying away. Verse 27. Therefore, will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Because the people continued in their idolatry and would no longer respond to the Lord's reproofs through varying degrees of chastening and through the preaching of his prophets, he had no other recourse than to allow his people to be carried away into captivity. They'd be carried away captive into Assyria. They'd be carried away captive to the land of the Chaldees and Babylon. Think of this. The Lord, who carried his people, would cause them who carried their fake gods to be carried away into captivity at Babylon, the center of idolatry. You go in Scripture and you go trace back the beginning of Babylon, and it was ultimately the founding place of idol worship. God says, I'm going to send you to the heart of idol worship, and there Israel in Babylon would get a belly full of idolatry. They would get so much of it that it would make them sick of idols until they reached the point where they no longer wanted any part of idolatry before returning to the land of Israel. And idolatry would not be an issue when they came back. They're not going to touch the unclean thing. They're not going to pick it up. They're not going to carry it. They'll leave their idols lying in Babylon and get on back where they belonged. Acts 7, verse 43. Earlier we read Acts 7, 39 to 42, or through the first part of verse 43, but here's how Stephen concludes that part of his testimony. Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Renthan, figures which ye made to worship them, colon, result, and I will carry you away to Babylon. They took up their idol and carried it, and God says, I'm going to let you be picked up and carried away into a place of idol worship beyond Babylon, beyond Damascus. So finally, we need to recognize here that though Israel was chastened and taken captive because of idolatry, they never ceased to be God's people. God gave them up. He even allowed them to be carried away, but they will be brought back into the land. They never ceased to be God's people. The relationship was absolutely secure, and it still is today. God still has a future for that nation. He's waiting for their eyes to be opened and their heart to be turned back to the Lord. But today, we as God's New Testament people, likewise, we are eternally secure in Christ. And it doesn't matter how many times we go astray, how many times we turn to idols from the Lord, we will never cease to be His child. There is nothing you can do to, quote-unquote, lose your salvation, because you didn't do anything to get it in the first place, and you're not doing anything to keep it. Okay? It is faith in Christ alone that saves us. Okay? That relationship is secure. And yet we had better learn from Israel's example, and the New Testament interprets it for us, that God preserved these things not just for our learning, but for our admonition. Not just to fill our heads, but to move our hearts and to motivate us. And we must learn from Israel's example that we as God's people will indeed be chastened for not loving and obeying Him as we should. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And we also must remember that it is only as we set our affection on things above, on Christ Himself, and when we let our position in Christ be reflected in our affection, in our appetites, in our actions, our appearance, can we enjoy fellowship with the Lord and with each other. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Paul said, "If or since you then be risen with Christ," He's raised you up, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where we are positionally. Now make it true practically. Mortify. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Finally, 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and following. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." John wrote that book to believers so that they would be motivated to live in fellowship with God. And here's how he ends that letter. 1 John 5:21, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." You're God's child. Nothing's ever going to change that. You can rest secure in that. But if you want fellowship with the Lord, you've got to walk in the light, and you cannot have idols in your heart or life. Let's mortify. Let's mortify the idols in our lives so that we might enjoy fellowship with the Lord who made us, who loves us, and who will carry us from our mother's womb to the grave or till we meet Him in the air. Lord, thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You do love us and that You are constantly working in our hearts by Your Spirit to lead us to You, to lead us closer to You. God, I pray that You would help us to be honest before You tonight, that we would not lie, that we would not deceive ourselves. Help us to give serious accounting of our hearts, Lord, to see where we really stand. And if we're not loving You and living in fellowship with You, God, I pray that You'd help us to be decisive. Help us to be decisive about the condition of our hearts, where our focus is, and to place it where it needs to be, to set our affection on things above, on Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.